Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the blessed privilege in the name of Jesus Christ to come your way by the Holy Spirit in word of truth, hoping and trusting that the Word of God and that the Holy Spirit of God will adorn your heart and you'll have a wonderful day in the Lord. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope of Abrahamic Faith, located on the Walt Arney Road in Lenore, North Carolina, holding services each Sunday at 9:30 in the Sunday morning, Sunday school, and 10:30 the morning message, and at 7 o'clock the evening message, sending greetings to all of God's people throughout the world. And if you're ever in our area at any time, we invite you to attend and worship at our services. May God's great grace and blessing be upon you today. We're going to consider today the model prayer which our Lord Jesus gave to us while here upon the earth, called the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is not a model prayer that gives us a form merely to go by, but it's an actual prayer that is to be prayed in the Spirit and truth from the heart. Jesus gives this prayer to us that we might find direction to the truth of God's plans and blessings for us. He begins with, "Our Father which art in heaven." The very nearness and dearness of this thought of "Our Father which art in heaven" becomes a relationship we have, know, and feel surrounding us. In plain words, Paul said in Acts 17:28, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." When Jesus said, "Call no man your father on earth," He was not considering our earthly natural parents, but talking about spiritual things of worship in religion. "For one is our Father which is in heaven," He said. To say "our Father" with knowledge and feeling of the power of God's love and Spirit is to know that we are the children of God and are such as can identify God, since He is our Father. Ephesians 4:4, "There is one body and one Spirit," and etc., on down to "one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." Note that there is one God who is above all, the Father of all. Hebrews 11:6, we find that he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we say "our Father," it means we understand perfectly that God is our Creator, that He really exists, and we know that in Him we live and move and have our being. We also understand perfectly that we will be rewarded by Him if we diligently seek Him. Our reward is that we may be the children of God in truth and spirit. Then Jesus gave us the 7 petitions in the Lord's Prayer. The first 3 have to do with prayers of men to God about the glory and manifestation of God in His life and His love for God. The last 4 have to do with our relationship one with another in our everyday needs. Number 1, "Hallowed be thy name." Why would one pray that God's name be hallowed? That is, that it might be so in your life, and that you might esteem the name of God to be held in great reverence, that it is holy, sanctified, a name of power, a name of might, a name of love and of glory, a name that comes from far, burning as fire, the great and glorious name of salvation that brings forgiveness and remission of sins to many. While they become His children, to be called His sons. God gives us this great thought concerning His highness and His greatness in Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Our Father, "Hallowed be thy name," shows we have become humble, concerned enough to ask the Creator to revive or make us alive to Him again, since man has been separated from God through sin, that He do it in His Spirit and in His truth. And what is to be reverenced more than a person's name? To reverence a person's name is to reverence the person himself. And try this thought, friend. God's name is holy, for God is holy. God's name is power, for God is power. God's name is might, for God is mighty. God's name is love, for God is love. God's name is a God of glory, for God is the God of glory. Thus we see that to reverence God's name is to call Him Father and then glorify Him for the privilege to be one of His children. Second petition, "Thy kingdom come." It's a great challenge to the best of scholars of biblical theology to try to make the church be the kingdom. Now, we do not pray, "Thy church come, but thy kingdom come." God tells us in Daniel 2:44 that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, to be not It'll not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms that's then standing, and it'll stand forever. Now, this part of the prayer has to do with God's plan for the kingdom of God upon the earth. The church most assuredly has not broken in pieces all these kingdoms, and the church people who were alive 1900 years ago left the church to those who are living today. We find that not so. This kingdom, those who inherit the kingdom that we're praying that it comes, will be given eternal life and live forever. They'll not leave the kingdom to other people, but that kingdom that they receive will break in pieces and consume all earthly kingdoms, and it'll become a great mountain and fill the whole earth. Thus, we can stretch the wings of faith longingly for the final glory of an entrance into the kingdom of God, which is to be established here upon the earth, and of which we're sure it will come. For we're still praying, Thy kingdom come. This earth is destined to be a more beautiful paradise than the Garden of Eden all over. If it's already here, no need to pray for it to come. The next verse explains it. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Looking away to the eternal God and eternal things He has for us, and the glory of it all, we suddenly have to come back to earth, and many try to spiritualize this by saying, well, in the heart of the Christians, God's will is done in the earth now. But the Lord said, be done in earth as in heaven. There is not one individual in heaven who does not cheerfully, constantly, perfectly do the will of Almighty God, who is our Heavenly Father. It cannot ever be done in earth as in heaven until Isaiah 60:21 is brought to pass. Let us hear what it says. It says, Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my plantings, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. When will this be? Why, it's going to be when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the glory of water, the glory of God as waters cover the sea. This is the time when all people who dwell therein shall be all righteous, and they will do the will of God even as it is done in heaven. This is after the resurrection, for the Lord Jesus said that they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage, but are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. One other thing that we want to note out of this that's doubly important is that they are equal unto the angels. If it is the angelic host which does God's will in heaven cheerfully, constantly, perfectly. When we are equal unto the angels, we will cheerfully and constantly and perfectly do God's will in the world that then is present, which is the world to come. Why did Jesus say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? Why did David said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace? Because it's a fact that many people do not understand. Now hear the word of the Lord and you'll understand it. Proverbs 11:31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed or rewarded where? In the earth, and much more the wicked and the sinner. Concerning the kingdom and inheritance of the earth, Hebrews 12:28 puts the clincher on this. It says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The church today can be shaken, torn apart, and divided, but one may say that's not the true church. Then who's to say who the true church is? For I know nobody of believers who agree as perfectly as all the angels in heaven. The fourth petition brings the prayers down to our everyday needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Some want to spiritualize this and say, well, this is the bread of heaven we're praying for, but that this is not the daily bread at all. But once we enter eternity, we will not need daily bread. We are brought back to the truth of our frailness and our need to lean on our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And if God is our Heavenly Father and we reverence His name, if we long by faith for those conditions in His kingdom upon the earth and live to obtain in Christ these things which we already have had the privilege to consider, then we've already got the bread of heaven. Jesus in Matthew 6:28 said, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, He says, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought what ye shall eat, or yet what ye shall drink, or what ye shall wear. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. all of these things. Notice that you have need of all these things. This is certainly plain enough for a child to understand it. Paul told the Philippians in the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray, friend, and in your supplication and prayer, offer thanksgiving to your heavenly Father. Petition 5, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. We may not really realize what we're asking here of God, but we're simply saying, forgive me the way I forgive others. Jesus told us in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Now, he says the reason for that is that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But he said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. This is just plainly saying with the same measure you measure out, that it will be measured back to you. We must be fair and honest and upright with all men, ourselves, and God. If you fail to forgive others, God will fail to forgive you according to your own measure. Petition number 6 says, lead us not into temptation. This is one of the most difficult phrases in the Bible. Much controversy has been ignited because of it. Yet our Lord told us one of the ways we could avoid entering the temptation to start with. In Matthew 26:41, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, watch means be on guard, stay on the alert. Why? Because the truth is that the flesh is weak. Not only do we have strength in the spirit, but we must pray to our Father in heaven for the help we need. Today we live in times when many people feel that God leads us into temptation just to try us. God knows our hearts, but hear the word of the Lord. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But men like Abraham and Job were tried, not for God's good, but for their own welfare, that they might learn how much they could endure, how much patience they could have for God. And the same writer, James, says in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has prepared to them that love him. A better understanding is from the Diglot, which renders it as follows. Abandon us not to a trial, or let us not be led to a trial by our own temptations. Why? Because you are our heavenly Father. You know our frame, that we are of the dust. And as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Finally, the last and seventh petition is, but deliver us from evil. Now, many evils came upon the Hebrew children in Babylon. Daniel was cast in the lion's den. The Lord delivered him. Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace. And God delivered him. Paul and Silas was cast into the prison being beaten. And Paul and Silas were delivered. And Peter, who was in prison also, was delivered by a miracle from prison. Job, in his patience, never giving up faith of God, was delivered. And so we find Paul saying in 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. We hope and trust the thoughts today are a blessing to you. May God bless you. It's our humble prayer.